Do you want me to bring you a little radio next time I come? I asked him. He nodded. Yeah. Edwin's has these little Philcos, not too big, I said, and I boxed my hands to show him the approximate size of the radio. Would you like one of those? He nodded. I wish I had the money on me, I said. I'd go and get it right now. Don't bother, he said. He said it as though he didn't believe I really wanted to get it for him. I'll get it tomorrow, I said. I'll have them bring it to you so you'll have music over the weekend. He didn't have anything more to say. He sat there, not looking out the window now, but looking down at the floor as if he had forgotten about the radio, about the ice cream, about Gable, about everything. I wanted to leave then to go home for the money to buy the radio, but I was afraid that the sheriff and his deputies might misinterpret my reason for leaving so early. I was sure they were paying closer attention to everything now, and they would not have understood my reason for leaving earlier than I usually did. So I just stood there until the deputy came to let me out. Paul wanted to know how everything had gone between Jefferson and me, and I told him it was better than ever. He looked at me as if he felt I was making this all up, but I could see in his face that he wanted to believe it. I told him that I had promised Jefferson a radio, and that I would go home and get the money to buy one. I would get it from Edwin's department store, and then leave it here for one of them to take to Jefferson, so that he would have music over the weekend. Paul thought it was a good idea, and he promised to give the radio to Jefferson himself. I didn't go home. I thought I would borrow the money from Vivian, and I went back of town to the Rainbow Club to wait until she got out of class. The bar was in semi-darkness as usual, with the usual two or three old men, talking more than drinking, and Claiborne behind the bar talking with them. I ordered a beer and told Claiborne about the radio. He didn't charge me for the beer, and he went back down the bar and spoke to the old men. Then he came back with a couple of dollar bills and some change. He took $5 out of an old leather wallet that had once been light brown but had turned almost black over the many years that it had gone in and out of Claiborne's back pocket. Thanks, I said. I'll get it back to you sometime this weekend. The muscle in his left jaw moved a little to show that he had smiled. Then he jerked his head toward the wall, a sign that I should go around to the other side and see what I could get in there. So after finishing the beer, I went through the side door into the cafe. It was much more brightly lit than the bar, warmer, and you could smell the food from the kitchen. A man and a woman ate at one of the tables, another man sat eating alone at the counter, and Thelma was behind the counter, near the cash register. "Well, well, look what the cat dragged in," she said. I had been at the Rainbow quite a few times lately, but I had not eaten in the cafe. I told Thelma about the radio, and I told her that Claiborne had donated something. She listened patiently, and I could see her face changing from patience to sadness to anger. Her mouth tightened as she looked around the room at her three customers, then back at me again. The anger had left. "You hungry?" she asked. It was stern, but loving, too. "No, I ate before I came," I told her. She didn't believe me. "I got some smothered steaks there," she said. "Shrimps? Chicken? I'm not hungry. You want to get that radio now?" "I would like to get it this afternoon." "How much they cost?" "About $20. "Eat something. I'll make up the rest," she said. She went back into the kitchen and dished up some rice and beefsteak and sweet peas, and she added a little lettuce and tomato salad and a couple of slices of light bread. "How much more you need?" she asked, after she had set the food down before me. "About $10, I said. "But listen, Thelma, I can borrow some of that money from Vivian." "Vivian got them children," she said. "I can let you have it. I'll bring it back tomorrow." "I ain't in no hurry." I ate the food hungrily because I had not had dinner, and I sopped up the gravy with the light bread. Thelma watched me all the time. When I was finished, she put a wrinkled $10 bill on the counter by my plate. "Here,